Every Saturday night, we have Gaza Corner, sometimes about Israel or Palestine or from somewhere in the Middle East. Tonight, I had something all planned, and then I had the idea of, you know, something very time-sensitive is going on, and if I can get Donna from the Rebuilding Alliance organization in here, I would do it. So Donna Baranski Walker called me at 5 o'clock and said, "I'm coming," and she's here. So Donna, welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Great to have this opportunity.
Yeah, there is something really serious going on, and I really wanted to have someone who is completely on top of it. You seem to be, your organization, Rebuilding Alliance, is doing a lot of different things, but right now, if you go to rebuildingalliance.org, the front of it, the homepage, is all about a village called Susia. Tell us about it.
Sure. We've been working in the West Bank and in Gaza and the East Jerusalem for the last 15 years, really bringing everybody together, the whole world, to keep Palestinian villages standing. And that includes human rights groups in Palestine, in Israel, and throughout the U.S. In advocating to keep them standing, as well as our work has been in building and in helping them build. What's happening with Susia is something that we learned about because of a lot of our own experience. Rebuilding Alliance had been, we'd received a small grant early on to build a school that wouldn't be demolished. And we found our way to a village in so-called Area C called Al Aqaba and helped them build a school. It was a small grant. The school actually was bigger than we expected. Other countries put money in, the Japanese, Belgians, and Norwegians. We finished that school together. It's three floors. It serves. It has a kindergarten, and it's a multi-use building with a library. It became the center point of the village, but as we were building, the whole place came under demolition orders. This was back in 2004. At that time, the U.S. consulate stopped the demolitions, and Rebuilding Alliance helped the village file its case before the Israeli High Court. What the High Court did is worth noting. It wasn't the perfect answer, but it's been enough for the village to thrive, to keep standing, to stay standing. The kindergarten's standing. The village has two factories in place. We've been helping them build homes under their own building permits. It's quite a remarkable, mind-bending story of something good that can happen. And so we learned something really important about how to get Congress involved to keep Palestinian villages standing. When we heard about Susia, and especially when we heard that the High Court would demolish it before its case was heard, that came up on May 15th, 2015, Rebuilding Alliance really sprang into action. We brought and a friend of the village, an expert, it was an Israeli professor of religious history, because Susia has a very long history with an archaeological site, as where it had, where people had their homes. We brought him to speak to Congress, and then we kept bringing others. We brought UN Habitat, people who were experts in speaking about building plans, about zoning plans, about all the things that were happening with this village. It was very important to do this because the High Court of Israel deciding the village could be demolished before its case is heard is pretty horrifying and has implications for all the other building, for all the other building in the West Bank that Palestinians are doing. Everybody has demolition orders. 535 other Palestinian villages in so-called Area C all are facing demolition orders.
Can you just define Area C?
So in the Oslo Accords in the 90s, the Palestinians and Israelis come to an agreement, and it's a very strange agreement. It divides the area into Area B and C. A is ostensibly under Palestinian control, where they have full administration and full security control, ostensibly because it doesn't quite work that way. But that was what the agreement said. B, they're supposed to share security control, but Palestinians should administer it. But Area C, so-called Area C, it's the 62% of the West Bank under Israeli control. This was a temporary control. It was supposed to last only 18 months after the start of the Palestinian Legislative Council. And that 18 months came and went. It's still under Israeli control. It is the interstitial tissue between all of these islands of areas A and B. So it's the only contiguous area in the West Bank. It is the area where settlements occur and where settlements expand. So the type of law, the rule of law, is entirely under Israeli control. What would happen about Susia, that it could be demolished before this case was heard, but then the next case that's prominent in the High Court a month later, in June of 2015, said there would be no Palestinian representation in the building permit process. The reviewers of building permits, the reviewers of master plans would not include Palestinians at all. So you've got a people developing their future without any chance of having it realized in any form with representation. Certainly a major concern. In Susia, back then, there would be a moment where the army said they would demolish a week later. They were waiting till the end of Ramadan. We were able to work with Representative Anna Eshoo, with Senator Feinstein, Dianne Feinstein. Each of them sent letters forward, the senator to the Prime Minister of Israel, and the Representative Eshoo to the Secretary of State. And it stopped the demolitions at that time, and the army began to negotiate. What happened now is that it's a couple years later, right? The Israeli government, in the Susia case, has really dragged its feet for all these years now. But just before Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, the Israeli government said that we're giving 15 days' notice, 20% of the village of Susia will be demolished on December 6th or after, at any time, again, before the case is heard. And they also had conditions about what would happen with the rest of the village. Again, one has to spring into action. Thankfully, Senator Feinstein was joined by 9 other senators, and their letters, now with Senator Sanders also, their letters to the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu. And Representative Eshoo put forward her letter with 9 other representatives to Secretary of State Tillerson. Mr. Tillerson wrote back, it's a vague answer, so Representative Eshoo and 9 others wrote to the White House. And thankfully, you know, we're after the 6th, the 9th today. Mm-hmm. Susia is still standing. It still faces that imminent 20% of it could be demolished at any time. But thankfully, there's been a little room at the court, and the lawyer's been told that she can file a response to the government by the end of this month, on the 28th. And what Rebuilding Alliance has been doing all along since we started is asking people to write, especially email, their members of Congress, because when they do that, we're able to do a follow-up briefing and put the constituents on the line with the, you know, senior staff for foreign policy and work through a briefing, describe what's going on, ask members of Congress to make 2 simple calls on behalf of their constituents to keep this village standing.
Let's take a break and go to some music and have people know that your website is rebuildingalliance.org.
Yes, indeed.
It's very simple. And right on there is a big fat link that you can't miss, and that will give you all the instructions to easily have this letter written. In fact, you practically write it for them. I mean, it's
sure they and, can and, certainly and it's, change and the words.
It's directed. It. It's directed right to whichever congressperson you wish it to be. I will say this one thing quickly. It's very frustrating, though, sometimes, because, for example, I sent it to everyone. Right, I sent it to Dianne Feinstein, which is fine. She's actually surprisingly been supportive. Maybe not so surprising anymore because she's been doing it for a few years, but she's been actually one of the good senators. But the new Senator Kamala Harris, it's mind-blowing to me when you write a letter and they write this generic letter back that doesn't even mention the subject matter. It's just this big general thing that hardly even mentions the Middle East. I mean, she is, it's beyond frustrating when they don't even address what you're writing about.
It's she wrote a vague reply. Everybody who's getting it has been sending us copies when we've
it's nonsense.
California,
it's total nonsense.
But the good news on it is, you know, over 340 people have written to Kamala Harris. Usually 15 letters will cause the senator or congressperson to respond directly. Mm. And here it's more than, it's passing 300 letters to her. But her staff finally said they're booking a meeting with us, except they're not letting the constituents join the line. And so they've asked for a private briefing. And it's strange because if you noticed in the news, Senator Harris has gone to Israel in the last few weeks with their staff and has met with the prime minister. So they want to tell us what their meeting was about. And we'll listen hard. You know, we'll do our best and we'll do what we always do, which is really ask for constituents to join the call. You know, we will take this first one because it's been so hard to book. So I guess I want to offer, your letter's getting through, you know, and we won't give up. We'll keep pushing. It's our senator. She has to listen to this. It's very important.
What I'd like to do is take a moment to play music by Yair Dalal. Do you know Yair Dalal? Okay, so he's an Israeli violinist and oudist, and I would say a peace activist. He's done a lot of work with the Bedouin communities. Huh. And this is an album, and there is a town also that is
Han al-Ahmar, exactly.
Yeah, a Bedouin community that's also under threat. And this is an old album by Yair Dalal called Azazme Tarab Ensemble with Yair Dalal. Azazme is a Bedouin tribe. And so this is their collaboration. We'll listen to one song. And I haven't been in touch with Yair recently, so I really don't know, you know, what he's up to these days. But he's done a bunch of tangents parties, and his heart is always in the right place, and I'm sure it would be in this case as well. This is Yair Dalal on 91.7 Gaza Corner with Donna Bronski Walker. I'm Dori Stein.
الناس قالوا لي من هو الشرقي قلت الشرق حبيب قلبي والشرق حبيب قلبي
يا بيضة
بيضة
لابس الشرقي
شرقي
يا بيضة
بيضة
لابس الشرقي
شرقي
That is Yair Dalal live, as you can hear. It's Yair Dalal live in the desert, and the album is called Live in the Desert, and also Shacharut and Al-Al, Al-Al, A-L and O-L. And before that, a track called Shergi from his collaboration with the Azami Tarab Ensemble, the Azami are a Bedouin tribe. And this is Gaza Corner during Tangents every Saturday night. It's closing in on 11:30. I'm Dory with Donna Baranski-Walker, the founder and executive director of Rebuilding Alliance. All the information that we are bringing up is completely present on the really thorough website, rebuildingalliance.org, rebuildingalliance.org, including information about how to contact your congressperson with a letter that would be appropriate about the topic we are discussing, which is the threat of demolition of the Palestinian community, Susia. And Donna, we were talking about what could be the imminent destruction of at least 20% of Susia. That seems to be not up for negotiation. It's like the other 80%. And is that right?
It's moving fast. Palestinian village of Susia filed a master plan. It did what every town does, you know, zone and plan. That's towns issue building permits. It's one of 116 Palestinian villages that have done these plans, filed them with the Israeli government, with the Israeli army. But in Susia's case, it's denied. The Israeli government, the army denied the case. The village pressed to the High Court to appeal, and in the appeal, the Israeli government is saying that they can demolish 20% of the village even before their case is heard, even before their appeal is heard. And that they set a due date, which was last Wednesday. Anytime after the December 6th, that demolition can occur. When their lawyer commented, put in her response on the case, the Israeli government came back and said, all right, not just 20%. We're now going to up the ante. Another 20%. This time we're going to include your school, the clinic, the solar panels, and some more houses. 20% can be demolished immediately, and you, the lawyer, can respond on these new claims. And you can do so by the end of this month.
It sounds like they make up whatever they want to do, just and no one can check it. I mean, isn't there a high court, a Supreme Court, that's supposed to be able to check the government so that they can't just do whatever they want to demolish these communities? And I suppose because Susia, there is a settlement right next to it, they're trying to uproot these Palestinians who live literally in caves and have forever in this area. And they're trying to remove them so they can expand the settlement? Is that what's happening?
Israel's Minister of Defense has taken the case under his hand entirely. He's really right-wing. He's Avigdor Lieberman, and publicly stating that Susia and Han al-Ahmar will be forcibly relocated by April. So the statements that are coming through the Minister of Defense, through the Israeli cabinet, to the High Court are exactly that, that both Susia and the Bedouin community of Han al-Ahmar will be destroyed, demolished. And now it's up to the court. Like, will the court offer any type of balance in this? Are they going to go along with the Israeli government? Are they going to recognize that there could be war crimes involved here? Susia owns its own land outright. There's no question. They have clear title to that land. There's been opposition to any settlement being established there at all because they own their land so clearly. It's a real challenge to see how do you keep this village standing? And yet we do see some hope. We've noticed that when people all around the world reach out to their diplomats, to their elected officials, it makes a difference. And surprisingly, it makes a difference when we reach out to our members of Congress. I don't think they care necessarily about a small Palestinian village on the other side of the world, but they do care about their constituents. And every member of Congress promises that they will respond. They will take on a case when you have an issue with a federal agency. They'll go to bat for you. So when you're calling or writing to Congress about keeping Susia standing, they're promising you that they'll intervene. And their intervention can be very simple. Their call to the State Department, their call on your behalf to the Israeli embassy, shines light on the issue. It shows people are paying attention. And that has kept other villages standing. It's kept Susia standing also up until now.
And Dianne Feinstein, Bernie Sanders, Patrick Leahy, and others. Those are heavyweight senators.
Yeah, it's been great to watch that they are involved. They're sending their letters to the Prime Minister of Israel. And there might be some traction on that. Susia is standing. It's past Wednesday. So let's hope that we can continue to leverage that attention. It also inspires other senators to take action. Now we have them talking about it. It's out in the open. These are public letters that have been sent by 10 senators to the Prime Minister of Israel. At last, the issue's on the table. Why can't Palestinian villages have planning rights like everybody else? Why can't they have a future? What is this nonsense about demolition orders? How is it that homes and schools are placed under constraints like this? It doesn't make any sense, and it certainly doesn't make anyone any closer to peace.
The NGO B'Tselem in Israel put out a release that says, the headline, and it's at the Tangents homepage and also on the playlist, B'Tselem to Netanyahu and other top officials in Israel, demolishing Palestinian communities, a war crime for which you would bear personal liability. And in an excerpt, it says, the demolition of entire communities in the occupied territories is virtually unprecedented since 1967. In its letter, B'Tselem warned, under the Fourth Geneva Convention, which Israel is obliged to respect in all its actions in the West Bank, forcible transfer of protected persons inside the occupied territory is prohibited and constitutes a war crime. The organization emphasized that the prohibition on forcible transfer of protected persons is not limited to transfer by physical force, but applies also to, quote, departure due to impossible living conditions created by the authorities through, for instance, demolishing homes or disconnecting them from electricity and running water, unquote. And it further stressed, this is B'Tselem, again, the Israeli NGO, stressed that, quote, forcible transfer is one of the offenses that come under the purview of the International Criminal Court. So this is not the kind of publicity Israel would want. In the few moments we have left, what is the best way for people to have their voice heard and the easiest way so they can just, like, go to your website and get it done?
Sure. That is a very real escalation. B'Tselem is seeing it, we're seeing it too. They're speaking about demolition of whole villages now. It's been house by house for the past 30 years. Now it's moving up to entire villages. And there's got to be a way to stop this. We've seen a remarkable response to people sending an email to their members of Congress. If they go to rebuildingalliance.org, right on the front page, click the banner that says email Congress now, and you can send your letter. There's a template there. You can change it if you want. No problem. It'll go to your two senators and to your member of Congress. If you're sending the one to Senator Feinstein, change the letter to thank her, you know, by all means. To Senator Harris, ask her to take some action here.
Ask her to wake up from her coma.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll begin to happen. And also, if they write back and they send you the vague letter that says nothing, write back to them and say, hey, are you paying attention? I asked you a specific intervention. I need you to intervene on my behalf as your constituent with the State Department and with the Israeli embassy. I need to know that you're making those calls for me. And that's what I'm asking for. So feel free to push them back. They will listen. Rebuilding Alliance is able to follow up and will put you, the constituent, on the line with the senior staff, because the moment that we see your email going through, we're able to call them the next day and say, hey, we've got constituents who want to keep Susia standing. We're ready to brief you. We've got, you know, the PowerPoint ready. 30 minutes. Give us 30 minutes so you can hear what the details are. And that helps. That gives a chance to share what the senators are saying, what Representative Eshoo has written. All of that kind of helps people become braver in Congress. Also, why Congress? Well, it's sort of like friends don't let friends drive drunk. You know, if Israel's going to listen to anybody, it's probably going to listen to members of Congress. They get an answer. We might not, you know, individuals writing to the Israeli embassy, who are we? But members of Congress do get an answer. So I think that it is very effective. Also, I know for sure it's effective. I saw it. They were going to demolish the kindergarten that Rebuilding Alliance had built, so I asked to go meet with the guy who issues the demolition orders. He's in this Israeli civil administration, and when I walked in, he stood up and he said, "Are you Jackie Speer?" He said this in Hebrew. I said, "I'm not Representative Speer, but I know exactly how that letter got on your desk." So the letter that she wrote on behalf of keeping that kindergarten standing, translated into Hebrew, on his desk, the guy who issues demolition orders. Well, that kindergarten standing. And it was a strange conversation with someone whose job it is to you know, isolate and demolish buildings. The village is standing. You know, the letter got to the right place. That's got to be part of the solution.
So you have face-to-face meetings. You go to Israel and get into not just visiting Israel and the West Bank, but also apparently you also, because of your work, contributing. We'll just mention, you know, real quickly, lights.
Yeah,
in Gaza. I mean,
27,000 solar lights, lanterns to kids in Gaza through the NGO community.
Yeah, not all NGO people get to get into Gaza, but you're able to.
And we get, the thing that surprised me is we get the diplomatic corps to support us. You know, that when we run into any difficulties, the State Department usually backs us, and so do our members of Congress. It's sort of a persistent form of asking, and it comes down to phone calls at 2 in the morning from villages when they're suddenly at risk of something. In Al-Aqaba, if the army, there's an agreement that says the army can't use live fire in the village. And when they violate that, my role is to be on the phone with every diplomat I've ever met, anybody who's ever supported and engaged with that village, to to make the army honor its agreement, and calling the army. There's a special hotline for international organizations. Starting there will get me to whoever it is in the system, and the lawyers, because each of the villages have their sets of lawyers, and these are brilliant people, mostly Israeli lawyers, not all Israeli lawyers, some Palestinian attorneys as well. Remarkable, all of them, extremely overworked, because the level of crisis has escalated to such an extent. What I'm trying to do now is to get I was trying with the U.S. ambassador, but also Jason Greenblatt. They should be meeting with the village lawyers. They should be hearing each other talk.
You're trying to get David Friedman to do something?
So far, not any success. But the man said that he cares about peacemaking, and he is our ambassador. And I know from experience in the past, that ambassador is the one who talks to the government of Israel. He also understands real estate law. Let him talk with the lawyers for the villages. He should hear what they're saying. Anyway, it's been a long set of months, and so far he hasn't responded, so I'm working through the chain.
But Jason Greenblatt is more responsive?
I mean, the letter I was advised to send it to the White House, so it did get through last Sunday. So did Representative Eshoo's letter with 10 signatures. They haven't responded yet, but they need to hear from these villages that they've met with the settlements. You know, they've met with the settler communities. They've met with settler representatives. Why can't they hear from the lawyers for the villages? I think it'll make a difference, actually.
Yeah. One quick question, and then we'll just wrap up. This State Department is unlike any State Department that's ever been in the United States. In fact, it's been eviscerated. And Tillerson may even be on his way out. You say you've had support from the State Department.
And I still get it. Every time, almost they're begging us to keep going with members of Congress and to keep working on these meetings with the lawyers and bringing it forward. And who's begging us? When we met with the State Department, we brought a young man from Susia, a 15-year-old, on International Peace Day. Brought him to speak to Congress in a briefing that was sponsored by Senator Sanders, and then brought him to the State Department and the National Security Council was represented in the meeting. What we heard there, you know, they are eviscerated, but they're not all gone yet, you know. And every time a member of Congress calls the State Department, that gives those people at that lower level, the ones who do the work, the ones who know what's going on, it gives them the chance to raise the issue. Otherwise, they're stuck. But because Congress asks, because someone wants the answers, they're able to move it forward in an administration that otherwise isn't hearing them or isn't paying attention at all. And that's of value. It still has currency. It still matters. So I do feel that one uses every form of support, and in a time like this when things are falling apart, it's up to us outside to do our best, you know, pull the pieces together, pull the thread to pull the sweater apart when it's necessary, but also put the puzzle back together so that they can make the connections that we need.
Donna, you're doing remarkable work, both in terms of your activism in meeting with congressional staff in this country and also in Israel and in Palestine. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there may be others like you, but I haven't met anyone quite like you. The Rebuilding Alliance, your organization that you founded, you're the executive director, the website rebuildingalliance.org. The link is at the Tangents homepage, but it's very easy to remember, rebuildingalliance.org. Just go there, and the steps are very straightforward to contact your Congress people to notify them about what could be the imminent destruction of Susia, a place that has been the home of these Palestinians living in caves in Susia for centuries?
Well, their title documents have them from the 1800s, and yes, centuries for sure. But you know, when it's registered in Ottoman law, those are very clear. Now it's tents, by the way, and it's something the Washington Post called it. They live a ramshackle village and living in squalid tents because they were forced out of the caves, the archaeological sites, and Interestingly enough, when I read that, I'm like, wait a minute. It's not like they want to live like this.
Right.
So we're really looking forward to, you know, kind of the next step. You know, let's hold an architectural design competition. The village is given the go-ahead, and we look forward to bringing a way for the village, for the world to imagine with the village what its future can look like as a green village, as a place that includes its animals, as a place that includes its farming, all of that. There's a way to design that really well, to include the infrastructure, to give them the future they dream of. You know, I think I look forward to, I actually hold on to that part gives me a lot of heart and hope.
Let's have our voices heard. It's easy to do. Go to rebuildingalliance.org. It's also a couple of weeks before Christmas, and it's the giving season. You know, put Rebuilding Alliance on your giving list. If you are supportive of justice in Palestine, if you don't approve of the ongoing occupation. This is an organization that's doing unbelievably important work and active work. You can hear it just from this conversation with Donna. So, Donna, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Doy.
Appreciate it.
Great to be here.
All right. Let's play one more track from Yair Dalal, who is, as far as I'm concerned, a musician who's also an activist and has worked with Bedouin communities. This is an album of his called with his band that at this time was called Band Orient, and Yair Dalal 91.7 Gaza Corner.